Luke 7, from 18 to 28. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." What a gift of the word.
If I use this microphone, can you hear me? I feel a bit separate from you over here, so I'm going to wander around here. The reason you're around tables, and some of you will be loving the fact that we're a bit different this evening, and some of you will be really freaked out by it, but don't worry, we'll just go with it. We'll, you know, get to know each other a little bit more in these different ways. The reason we're around tables is because we want to be reading the Bible together today, so we're going to do a little bit of that. But I wanted to give you a bit of a... bit of intro before we open this Bible passage up together. It's palindrome day today. Did anybody know that? It means that today's date reads the same forward as backwards, 02/02/2020. So it's appropriate also that we have kind of got a palindrome sermon. That is, the Bible reading is about reading the Bible. Does that make sense? Like a palindrome sermon. Michael's looking just like really confused over there. It's a palindrome of a sermon. So John, we're back to John the Baptist, who we met a few weeks ago when we started off this sermon series. And he, if you'll remember, John the Baptist was announcing that the coming of Jesus was going to change the landscape and announce a new king. And Jesus was going to be the new king of a new kingdom, the fulfillment of the prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures. And as we read a few weeks ago, Herod did not enjoy the announcement of a new king, and so he threw John into prison, which is where he is now when we meet him in this reading here. So our reading begins today with John languishing in prison and wondering, have I made the most enormous mistake? I've been announcing Jesus as the fulfillment of all these prophecies. I've been announcing him as a new king, and now here I am in prison. This wasn't in the script. And I just need to check in with Jesus again. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect somebody else? So he sent some people to ask Jesus this very question, and to ask him directly, are you the one to come? Are we expecting somebody else? And Jesus, let's remember the context. If Jesus said outright, "Yes, John, I'm the Messiah, I'm the fulfillment of all the Hebrew prophets," it wouldn't be very long before he was off the page altogether, and the rest of his ministry would be cut off by him being executed for blasphemy. Of course, that did happen, but Jesus had more of his ministry to fulfill, so he didn't want that to happen right away. So he does something else instead, and this is a little bit of what Jesus does to answer John's question. He does this. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Thank thank you. What he does is start a tune expecting that John will know the rest of the tune. It's like he plays some chords of a familiar tune and knows that John will know the melody over the top. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The chords and the tune and the introduction to the tune are the background of Jesus's and John's life. They're the soundtrack of Jesus's and John's life. The Hebrew scriptures, the Psalms, the law, the prophets, the histories, the laments, the poems. These were the kind of earworms for Jesus and John. These are what he went around singing to himself. So when Jesus says this, when he says the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor, John is hearing a tune. He's hearing a da-da-da-da. He's hearing what Isaiah 35 says. Isaiah 35 says, your God will come, then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf be unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue will shout for joy. That's the da-da-da-da. And Isaiah 61, which we heard a couple of weeks ago, says, the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. Isaiah 26 says, your dead will live, their bodies will rise. These are the chords that Jesus is playing as he gives this reply to John. And John knows the melody that's on top, because he knows the scriptures. He knows the promises that are being fulfilled. So Jesus, in giving this answer, is both giving a coded message to John, but he's also opening John's eyes up to a whole new way of reading the Bible. Jesus's way of reading the Bible, which is to see himself in it. And I am totally intrigued. When I meet Jesus face to face, I'm totally intrigued to find out how that happened. As he read the scriptures as a young boy, as he heard those scriptures, did it kind of come to him in bits and pieces as he read the prophet Isaiah? Did he suddenly see his eyes open and think, oh, I think this is talking about me? Did that happen gradually? Did it happen suddenly? Can't wait to ask Jesus that question. But John is now receiving from Jesus this way of reading the Bible, a new way of reading his scriptures. We're also invited, I think, by Jesus' way of reading the Bible to a way of seeing the Bible not just as flat words on a page, but as a soundtrack to life, as a kind of tune that we join in with, as chords to which we join in with a melody. Does that make sense? It's kind of a soundtrack to our lives, that the Bible is intended to be, Jesus is showing John that it's read as something you live into, kind of a script for life, kind of a chords over which you improvise your own melody. So this is a very inviting way of reading the Bible that Jesus is introducing John to. So he's doing so much. Jesus is a genius. He's doing so much in this wonderful answer that he gives. How did the Bible become this kind of soundtrack for Jesus and John? Well, number one, they spent a lot of time reading it. They memorized huge parts of it, which is, with our Google-deprived synapses, I don't know how we would ever memorize as much as they did, but they had in their heads huge amounts of scripture. Jesus quoted 24 books of the Bible, and he never carried around a smartphone to check the references, so we can assume that he memorized from dozens and dozens of books of the Bible, which is extraordinary. And they lived in it. They lived in it to live it out. So it's really good for us just to think about our own practices of how we absorb this. I grew up in a quite a traditional church, and one of the things that we did, it was a choir of children and young people. And so we sang the Psalms, and we sang what's called the Magnificat, which is Mary's song at the beginning of Luke's Gospel. We sang that every other week. So I've got, kind of by default, the words of Mary's song, the Magnificat, kind of in my heart and in my soul, and is kind of a soundtrack to my life. I'm so thankful for that upbringing. It means that, for example, when I was in New Zealand, as some of you know, I was there on sabbatical towards the end of last year, and there was one day I was driving about 3 hours, and I was praying with the Magnificat, and it was there in my head, so it could kind of inspire my prayers without me having to like crash the car to read the Bible at the same time. So I really encourage you, get ahead. Like, if you might have some of these scriptures partly in your head already, but get those that you've got a head start on, learn some more. Learn Psalm 23, which you might know a lot of already. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You probably know the Lord's Prayer. Maybe learn some more around that. Learn the Magnificat. It's such a brilliant words to have as the soundtrack of your life. So, and the other ways that you get into these without kind of deliberately memorizing them is having regular practices of reading the Bible. So one of the other reasons we're around the tables like this, we're all learners. We're all, you know, we've all got L plates on. So I'd love us to share some of the ways in which we're helped by reading the Bible. The current thing that I do, I've done this for quite a while, is that I want the first thing that I read in the morning to be the Bible, not my phone. So I read a psalm the first thing I wake up. And kind of by default, the psalms are just starting to get into me a little bit more. And I'm also on an app called Read Scripture, which gives me a passage of the Bible every day. Those are things that I find helpful. That's like my main reading of the Bible. Anyone else got an app or a Bible reading thing that they're finding helpful at the moment? As I say, we're all learners here. So anyone else got anything they want to just throw in the mix? Great, Bible in a Year, brilliant. I think you can get that spoken to you as well. So thanks, Charlotte. Bible in a Year. Is that on a phone or is it like you a book and notes in the margin? Amazing, great. Anyone else got anything that they find helpful at the moment, or any Bible YouVersion? Is that on your phone? An app on your phone. Awesome, great. Anything else? You might talk around your tables and suggest some other ideas. It's really just, these create a soundtrack to our lives, like a backdrop to our lives. I'm just going to, before we turn to reading around the tables, just going to give a few tips for reading the Bible. By the way, this kind of, let's talk about the Bible together, came out of an evening we had back in November last year when we were thinking about what are the sorts of things we can address in our teaching. And one of those was, how do we read the Bible? Here's some thoughts. The second slide of the PowerPoint, I think. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, no, the second one. Here we go. How to read the Bible. Here are a few tips with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So read the Bible with all your heart. Approach it with curiosity and with hopefulness that you'll meet Jesus in it. That's how he met himself in the Bible. So approach it hopefully with your heart, that your emotions will be touched as you read the Bible. Be ready for that. Be inviting of that. Read with your soul. Approach the Bible prayerfully. I think it makes all the difference whether you read a passage and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Ask the Holy Spirit to kind of help it speak to you. So read the Bible with all your heart. Read the Bible with all your soul. Read with all your mind. We can use our mind in all sorts of different ways. So you can use your imagination to picture yourself into a scene. You can ask tough questions of the Bible. It kind of is rigorous enough to take it. Ask alongside books or other people. Ask in conversation. Use your mind to approach the Bible. Memorize it if you want to. And with all your strength, because sometimes it is about just choosing, I will deter. I'm in Ezekiel in my Bible reading app at the moment. It takes a certain amount of strength and determination to get through Ezekiel, I tell you. So you just have to decide, man, when you get to those middle chapters of Ezekiel, you just have to decide to carry on going, which I have. So tonight, what we're going to do is, inspired by the Bible Project, which I love, sit around the Bible with the people who are around our tables and stretch ourselves in one of two directions. Some of us are more thinkers when it comes to the Bible. We like asking tough questions. Who wrote this? How did this text arrive with me? What can I learn from this passage? I think I lean towards thinking when I read the Bible. Any other thinkers here? You lean towards, what do I learn from the Bible? Yeah, okay, yeah. A bit more thinking. Some of us lean towards feeling. How do I feel about this passage? Oh, it makes me so happy. Oh, it makes me really angry. Oh, it makes me really lament. Anyone leaning towards feeling? Any feelers? Yeah, okay, great. We're a mix, of course we are. That's what part of the joy of gathering together. We're going to stretch in one of those directions. Thinkers, learn from the feelers among you. Feelers, learn from the thinkers. Can we have the next slide up? Here's what we're going to do with the passages, the passage that we read today, but also we could potentially go into the Isaiah passages. I'll come back to those. You see how all the thinking's in very hard type. I made this really nice kind of feely text and it hasn't come through. Oh, okay. So thinking questions. I found it really easy to think of thinking questions because that's how I'm wired. Thinking questions. What is God doing in this passage? What are people doing? What does this mean for me and how should I respond? Another thinking question. What does Isaiah or Luke want us to know from this passage? Why does the Holy Spirit put this passage in our canon? Those are quite thinky questions. So if you're normally a feeling kind of reader, think about some of those. The other ones are like feely questions. How would it feel to be one of the characters in this passage? What impression does... I found it harder to think of these questions. What impression of God does this passage give me? How do these feelings relate to me or to somebody else in my life? How do we respond to this? Has anyone else got any other thinky or feely questions that you bring to the Bible? I need help with the feeling ones particularly. My cold heart needs some help. Needs some help with some feeling questions. Maybe there's enough up there. You can crack on with that. So what we're going to do is spend 10 minutes around the table discussing these. And as I say, let's stretch in either direction. If we're more of a thinker, try some feeling questions. Try cracking into that heart of yours. If you're more of a feeler, try some thinking questions and learn from the table around you. So somebody else might kind of be responding to it in a different way. That's a great opportunity to learn more about this passage. The passage is Luke chapter 7, verses 18 to 28. You could, if you wanted to, look at Isaiah 35 or Isaiah 26 as well, which Jesus is referring to. But if we're all on the same page, Luke 27, 18 to 28. Should we have some music in the background while we're discussing? Great.